Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time. Actually, history time. Because remember, this is all his story. Did you know that I wrote that?
That would figure.
This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challies, not only is he a fine writer of contemporary issues and theological concerns, but now he's an historian writing about the early Christians, why they were persecuted. I think most of us would conclude, well, it's because they were Christians. And of course, that is ultimately correct because they were identified as such. But was it because of their exclusive belief in Jesus Christ? And the answer is a definitive, not really. I wouldn't say it's complicated, but there's more to the story than just they were persecuted because they believed in a risen Savior from Jerusalem. From Tim Challies, a sober warning from the earliest Christians, there is an apparent parallel to what is going on in our culture. Remember, those who fail to study history are bound to repeat it. I wrote that too, just so you know.
And live with that
Rome,
one.
Writes Challies, was surprisingly tolerant of other faiths. See what word comes to mind as I share this from Challies. As they conquered the surrounding nations, they would rarely demand full loyalty to the traditional Roman religion or gods. They would allow people to continue to worship their own gods in pretty much their own way, but still the Christians were persecuted. Why? That's the question then that he seeks to answer to demonstrate we're seeing the exact same thing today. Oh, sure, it's slightly different, change a name, but otherwise, same thing. Did any word come to mind for you that Rome was tolerant of whatever, as long as you're a good Roman citizen? Challies writes, the great challenge of the Roman Empire was binding together many cultures, faiths, and nations under a common banner. As their armies conquered lands stretching from Germany to northern Africa, from Spain to Syria, this challenge became increasingly difficult. Does any word come to mind for you now? Like multiculturalism?
No, that wouldn't be it.
Well, I'm kind of thinking. I know, the devil has lots of schemes, but just grant me that...
Huh? Nothing new under the sun, dude.
I know there's nothing new under the sun. That's exactly the point.
We just dress them up in different clothes.
When you try to consolidate a group of people with disparate beliefs, and I'm not just talking religion, I'm talking about issues of the forms of government, forms of commerce, morals, values. For whom do we cheer? If there is not a flag, if there is not some something that we all share that binds us together, then you become a fractured people that is simply unmanageable. That's exactly what's happening with multiculturalism. And while I realize the devil has many schemes, I think a lot of what we're seeing today is a fruit of multiculturalism. Deconstructing anything in our context, American or Australian or Canadian or British, wherever you are, just get rid of all of that. And the result of that is complete chaos, anarchy, and an inability to manage people. And that's exactly what the Romans were dealing with. How do you bind all of these different peoples together? And I don't know that they actually could. In America, the states were bound together because we were United States, because we basically believed in certain things like freedom, a word you don't often hear spoken these days. liberty, rights, laws.
Until the Civil War.
Justice.
Then it became a law.
These are all things that caused us to believe we're one gang here. Rome struggled with it, but that isn't the point of this article. That was merely a detour, which we'll take on occasion here at Wretched Radio. What could serve as a kind of bond to hold it all together? Well, see, because I have cable TV, I know what I would use. Have you seen that stuff where they like broke up a boat, taped it together, and put the boat back in the water, and it worked?
Oh, yeah.
What is that stuff? That's going to bind a group of people together. That's going to give duct tape a run for its money. I'm just telling you that. That isn't what they came up with. They determined the emperor. The emperor could stand in as the live embodiment of the empire so that loyalty to the emperor would be synonymous with what? Loyalty to the empire, specifically to Rome. Now, the question was, if the emperor is supposed to be the glue that holds us all together, okay, so different languages, different religions, different values, but we all give a nod to the emperor so we can be disparate, we can be different than the other groups, and yet all one. That was the thinking, because otherwise you can't manage a group of people. So how should that loyalty be displayed? And the answer was by having every citizen make a sacrifice to him as if he were divine. Rome didn't insist everybody convert to their pagan religion or religions. They just insisted that every religion add a small homage to the emperor. Little act of worship that would be a display of their loyalty to the empire. Now, that brings some clarity to Romans chapter 10. Remember when you're doing biblical hermeneutics, which we're going to be doing very soon here again, and I'm very excited about it. We want to understand context, culture, what's going on in the world. It is not elevated above the text, but it should help us understand the text. And so when you know this about Rome and that it was required, you will do a little bibbity-bobbity to the emperor. Otherwise, you're a bad citizen. Suddenly, Paul's words in Romans chapter 10, they mean something more profound, don't they? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that would be your verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. Instead of vowing allegiance to the emperor, the born-again Christian gives his allegiance to one and only Jesus Christ. And that was the rub. Christians wouldn't do it. And so the Romans concluded, you're bad citizens. That's why they were persecuted. Yeah, it was motivated by the Christian religion, but it's simply because they wouldn't get with the program. Now, what are the lessons for our day? Our society, this is Challies now, our societies are attempting to maintain unity through growing diversity, yet have abandoned or overthrown most of the elements that have traditionally bonded us together. So we need a new means of expressing that unity, just like the Romans. What's the glue? What unifies us? And what's risen to the top in our culture is tolerance. It's a new kind of tolerance, and it has everything to do with modern sexual ethics and mores, rewriting genders, sexuality, etc. You've got to tolerate it, and if you don't tolerate it, you are a bad citizen. Where tolerance once called for respect despite disagreement, today it calls for much more. We are considered tolerant only when we advocate and celebrate new understandings of marriage, sexuality, and gender. Those who refuse to celebrate what they believe God forbids are seen as disloyal to the unifying principle of society. Does Challies have a point? Methinks he might. Three thoughts for your consideration. Just as every religion in the Roman Empire was meant to add a small homage to the emperor, today we find that every religion is meant to add an element of tolerance. You display your loyalty to society by expressing that tolerance. It equals good citizenship. Number two, people today are perfectly willing to tolerate the Christian faith, like the Romans were, as long as it doesn't disrupt the unifying principle of tolerance. Just replace emperor with tolerance, and you've got 21st century America. Christians in the early church, they were welcome to do your Jesus thing, sing your songs, do whatever you want to do. Just give a tiny nod to the emperor. Likewise, we're free to continue worship Jesus, do church things. Just add a new definition of marriage, gender, and so on, demonstrating your tolerance. You don't have to abandon your faith. Just tweak it a little bit. Third similarity to the Roman Empire. Just as the people around the early Christians insisted that there was no inconsistency between worshiping Jesus and offering a pinch of incense to the emperor, people around us today are insisting there is no inconsistency between these new sexual mores and the Bible. First century Christians, they knew better. Will we? As we start to perhaps get persecuted for our lack of tolerance, for the new tolerance, will we be deemed the new persecuted class? Seems like we're already there. The question is, will we respond the way they did in the early church, refusing to bow to the emperor? This is Wretched Radio.
The kids these days with their electronic devices doing the Angry Birds and such. The adults these days with the yard work and paying the taxes and such. Don't you just wish you could do something that both parents and kids would actually enjoy? Find a happy medium and visit the Wretched website. Hundreds of hours of TV, thousands of hours of radio, all centered around biblical teaching. And our library? Hand-selected TV shows ranging from apologetics to parenting. You choose by topic. Now, we can't promise that your family will be singing Kumbaya around the campfire. And really, do you want to? But we do guarantee that you'll get solid biblical teaching and never have to hear about birds with anger issues ever again. So gather the family and visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now, a ministry that I...
Early! Too early!
A ministry that I commend to you wholeheartedly. Have been praying for this ministry for 20 years. Why? Because of the amazing work they do. God saves people through the proclamation of His Word. He grows Christians through the studying of His Word. But people around the globe can't do that if they don't have a Bible in their own language. Enter Bible League International. They don't just run around the planet throwing Bibles at people saying, "Here, read this." They preach the gospel, they disciple them through Project Philip. Upon graduation, then they're given a Bible in their own language. So you, for just $5 per Bible, can be delivering a Bible in the language of a person who is a believer. Call toll-free 844-YES-WORD, 844-YES-WORD, and let's send some Bibles to Africa.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to Africa, shall we?
Sing grace, how sweet the sound.
Love that every single time. This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Africa because there's all kinds of Christian activity sort of going on there. Joining us in studio, we flew you in from Africa. Could you just go with it? It makes it sound like we are like some highfalutin sort of ministry here. So we flew in the voice that you're about to hear from Africa because a couple of days ago, read about an Ethiopian apostle who laid on top of a corpse after his family had dug them up because he told them the story of Lazarus in an effort to raise the fellow from the dead. Didn't work. He got arrested. He's sitting in custody. The family is grieved. They attacked him when he didn't bring the fellow back to life. And Michael Woolworth from Bible League International, you have been to Africa, and we hear stories like this. We hear about the explosive growth of Christianity in Africa, and then we get stories like this. So what is, whether it's Ethiopia, wherever it is that you've been in Africa, what is the Christian climate in Africa today?
Well, Todd, good to be with you. Hey, if you can imagine 10 Christians right now in Africa, 9 of them do not have a Bible, okay?
Okay, so, all right, just stop right there. Hold on. Is this, are these places that poor, or is it just no missionary? What 9 out of 10?
Well, if you live under a corrupt government that does everything that it can to thwart the advance of the gospel, okay, if you live among majority religions like militant Islam that does everything it can to thwart the advance of the gospel, if you live in extreme poverty and you have a dollar a day that you live on, you're not going to afford a Bible. The other issue, Todd, is remoteness. Some of the people that we work with through Bible League have never looked at the face of a clock. They've never answered a cell phone. They, you know, they just simply cannot access a Bible. There's no Christian bookstores. It's a big deal here in America to go to even a discount retailer, right, and find a Bible, right? But that's not the case in a place like Africa. But we're trying to do something about it through through this partnership between Bible League and Wretched. And
well, we want people to potentially, if they can, send Bibles to Africa, because one of the things that struck me about Bible League, it's not this indiscriminate just walking through the streets and throwing Bibles at people. Bibles are actually just given to believers. Now, I want to get to that in a moment, but yeah, I want to camp for just a moment. 9 out of 10 Christians in Africa don't have a Bible. So somebody's doing some work there evangelistically. I mean, people are hearing the gospel somehow, right? But they can't afford a Bible.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that's why we've got so many of these stories coming out of Africa with this wonky kind of a mixture, I've heard, of paganism, witchcraft, syncretism, and Christianity. Sure. Just complete. Is that what you experienced there?
Well, let me say this. So if we're saying that in some parts of Africa, as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible, okay, what's that mean? Several things. Well, as it relates to growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, what does it mean? It means that most evangelical Christians in places like Burundi and Ethiopia, Uganda, Tanzania, part of the world I was in earlier this year, what's that mean? It means you cannot do what you and I did this morning, open the Bible, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It also means you cannot be a faithful Berean. You can't go home after the worship service on Sunday.
And even check it out.
And so,
how would you know?
How would you know? And so it is unfortunate that those stories that you just mentioned, a story like that, would come out of Africa so often. But let me say this, Todd. This is a part of the world where Christianity is growing fastest, right?
We hear that from South America. We hear numbers that it's explosive growth.
Where persecution is high, people live in extreme poverty, where there's syncretism, right? That's the fancy theological word for the blending of the good old-fashioned gospel with these pagan practices, what you just mentioned about this pastor, okay? But let me tell you, experience I had earlier this year, and this really exemplifies, I think, the church in Africa. We were in Tanzania for the express purpose of giving Bibles to graduates from Bible League's discipleship program. So you're right, we never go into a village and say willy-nilly, anybody want a Bible, right? The Christians that we work with are those that have come through, again, this what we call Project Philip Bible Study. Who's Philip? He's the evangelist in Acts 8, right, that leads the Ethiopian eunuch to faith in Christ. So these Christians had not made on-the-spot decisions for Christ. They had laid down, what, everything for the sake of the gospel. Former village witch doctors, former militant Muslims, people that had been steeped in animism, right, the belief that there's spirits and things and places. All of those isms that plagued the continent of Africa, right? So we were there to give out Swahili language Bibles to those that had come through this Project Philip Bible Study. Todd, it was a 100-degree day.
Of course it was.
This graduation was in a basically a glorified picnic pavilion. It was very, very appropriate for Tanzania. Where's Tanzania? You've seen it in National Geographic, right? It's beautiful.
Give me a map, and I couldn't put my finger on it, though.
Todd, it's absolutely everything you've seen, right? Mount Kilimanjaro is there. The Serengeti's there with all the lions and tigers. So I can tell you that hundreds of Christians graduated from this discipleship program. It's Christianity 101 coupled with the Gospel of John. How many of us have used the Gospel of John to introduce people to Jesus, right? And Christianity 101 in my mind would be, okay, how is Jesus both God and man? What's it mean to die to self? When Jesus says, if you want to be great in this kingdom, you'll learn to serve others. And so these believers were in a very good place to begin their walk with Christ. And we promised them a Bible at the end, right? A full Bible in the Swahili language. So name after name was read, met with applause. The men applauded. The women ululated. What's that mean? They shrieked in delight. They shrieked in delight, right? Uh-huh. And Todd, I was giving out a Bible to a woman about 65 years of age. I found out later her name was Mabel. Who was Mabel? The village witch doctor. Oh. The former village witch doctor. And she took that Bible from me. Of course, had the biggest smile on her face. And she held it above her head. And 10 times she said, louder each time, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. Mm. Now, I don't speak Swahili, so an onlooker was able to tell me that. But Todd, I lost it emotionally. I had to get out of that building very, very quickly. But one thing that intrigued me was I saw people looking in the windows, okay, almost climbing over each other. I mean, there were, Todd, it was 1,000 people in that area. And as I was out there looking at these people climbing in to see inside the windows, a pastor by the name of Abraham spoke English, spoke Swahili. He said, Michael, he said, this is a picture of Christianity in Africa right now. He said, literally and figuratively. He said, those inside the church are not afraid to say, I'm a new creation in Christ. Those outside the church, and a lot of those that were there were wondering, what's going on here? They're asking, who is this Jesus? Mm. What's going on here? That was the village witch doctor. Now she's following Jesus. Now listen, it was Super Bowl week, the week that we were there, right? So back here in America, what are we doing? We're celebrating the Eagles and whatever the other team was, right? I can't even remember.
Pagans do that, but I only tune in just for research purposes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're celebrating what? Football. Right. In this little village in Tanzania. This little village in Tanzania in a very simple and yet profound way. What were these believers doing? They were celebrating the simple fact that God's precious word had come to their village.
Yeah, that's both joyous, and I just think about the opportunity. If the fields are that ripe for harvest. All right, let me do a shout out for Bible League International, because it's still $5 a Bible.
$5 a Bible.
Which, honestly, I don't even know that you can get a Bible for $5 in the States at Salvation Army or Goodwill. So, I mean, how you get it to Africa, whatever you're doing, whatever that little trick you're doing there in Illinois with Bible League International, for $5 a Bible, we can get a Bible into the hands of more witch doctors. I think that's your new slogan. 1-844-YES-WORD. 1-844-YES-WORD. You can also go to wretched.org/Bible. See what we did there? Wretched.org/Bible and send as many Bibles as possible to Africa, to believers, so that they can hear and see and read the Word of God and test things. Now, I want to go back to that just for a few more moments. I want to revisit the preaching that can happen there in churches, because we've heard enough about the prosperity preaching, which we used to say it wouldn't sell in Africa, but it does. Some of the witchcraft that gets blended, some of the wackiness, having the people in the congregation eat grass because they're the sheep. I mean, just, and the importance of them having a Bible to stave that off. I want to revisit that. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, 1-844-YES-WORD, 1-844-YES-WORD, wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. How many Bibles could you send to Africa? Michael, as always, very grateful for what you do and for what Bible League International does. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. We do always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Did you know you can now share the biggest question really easily and for free? Yes, the biggest question was a DVD. Bodie Bauckham, Ray Comfort, Easy, and Todd, a great gospel presentation. And you guys bought them and handed them out, I think, over a million copies at last count. Thank you for that. Well, now, because of the generosity of our gospel partners, the biggest question is now available in Spanish and English for free on a website. How easy is that? Wretched.org/biggest question. Or just go to wretched.org and at the top you'll see evangelism. Click there and off you go. You'll find the biggest question in English or Spanish. You'll also be able to read the entire Don't Stub Your Toe gospel booklet. So if you know someone who needs to hear the gospel, send them to wretched.org/biggest question. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And here... Sorry, I haven't had my coffee yet. Here we go. Do not, I repeat, do not let this discourage you from your duty. Church, we are commanded to practice church discipline. Now, typically discipline, it goes on preaching, teaching, hallway conversations. But this is the discipline of the Matthew 18 sort, where if you are living in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, well, then we've got to discipline you. That's a command for us. It purifies the body. It keeps bad things from happening to the It keeps people from sitting next to the drunk on a stool in a bar and going, "What church do you belong to? Really? What that?" Church discipline takes care of that. And one particular church in Kentucky decided to do the brave thing and practice, I guess you could say, a form of church discipline. Now, I've seen church discipline. I believe it was Pastor Jeff Noblet's church in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where they sent out a letter and said, "Hey, haven't seen you. Sup? Please contact us." If they didn't, sent you a letter, didn't hear from you. "Now we're concerned because we haven't seen you in church for X number of months. Please contact us so that we can know that you're moved on to another church, your soul is being fed." Third letter. "All righty." "Then how's about this? If you do not respond, we have no option but to exercise Matthew 18. We are setting you outside of the body, revoking your membership. We hope that this is a mistake. We're hoping the other pieces of mail were lost in the shuffle, because that can happen with the USPS. Please contact us." And then the fourth letter was, "You're out. You're done." And they cleaned up the rolls. This is a hard thing for a church to do, because perhaps you're a pretty big church. 1,000 people attend our church every weekend. 1,000, we have 1,000 members, because remember the ratios these days with church attendance and church memberships, it's inverted. It used to be, I can't tell you the year, but it used to be that if you had, let's say, 1,000 members, then you would have about 1,500 people showing up for church, because the members would all come, plus the regular attenders, those people who are checking things out, guests, visitors, what have you. Today, if you've got 1,000 members, about 600, maybe 700 people show up. It's totally inverted. And our roles in evangelical Christianity are highly inflated. Why wouldn't we want a cleaner register? This church in Kentucky decided, yep, that's what we're going to do. And for their trouble, from the Kentuckian, I think that's what it's called, amp.kentucky.com. Kentucky Church sent letters kicking out members overcoming transgressions. Nice headline. This is from the Lexington Herald Leader. Did you catch that? Kentucky church sent letters kicking out members over common transgressions, like not going to church for years. Would you like to hear the letter? Well, I happen to have it for you. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to give it a go because somebody Xeroxed it. They posted it. Somebody who
was there a mimeograph the involved?
It could have been. I need to. The 70 longtime members of Cave City Baptist Church, salute, received the letter. The letter was shared on Facebook. We'll just leave his name out of it. He was a member, used to be. Said the church's bylaws, members are expected, first of all, to be faithful in all duties essential to Christian life and also to attend habitually the services of his church, to give regularly to its support, and in cases to share in its organized work. He signed on to that. And now that he's getting booted because he has not gone to church in years. He's not been to church, writes the Herald Leader, in 20 years.
Hmm.
The pastor, rightly so, said, why is he so bent out of shape? He hasn't been here in 20 years, and now he's angry that we're saying we're taking you off the rolls. They didn't even really incorporate church discipline as much as we're cleaning up the rolls. Wow. Pastor said, I allowed this letter to go out because I wanted people who have broken fellowship with God and his church to realize they need to repent and return before Christ returns. Well done, sir. The post has been shared. People are complaining. They just want money. They just want people to do their chores. No. They're cleaning up their roles. And you made a promise. That statement, members are expected, first of all, to be faithful in all duties essential to Christian life and also to attend habitually the services of his church. These days, that means nothing. Well, yeah, I did sign that, but I didn't read it. Who reads that stuff? Well, if you're an earnest Christian, which is a bit redundant, you read that stuff. I know it won't make me popular, said the pastor. None who preached the truth in the Bible were thought well of. But I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm trying to point people to Jesus and the inherent responsibilities that come along with being a follower of Christ. Good on you, sir. Let me try to read this letter. It's not good. Wait a second. Okay, it's come to this. De-de-de. I am turning on my cell phone, and I'm turning on the flashlight. There you have it. I'm that guy in the restaurant. I can't see it. And I was at Costco. I didn't get a new pair of glasses. I got three pair of glasses because that's the way they come at Costco. I bought a three-pack. But the three-pack, who I think wasn't he the rapper who got shot?
He was just Tupac.
I got the three. Yeah. They didn't have those. They came in packs of three. And this at Walgreens, pretty much the same pair, $18. I got three pair for $18. So if you happen to be a 1.75 and need some glasses, just send me an email. I'll share. Although it seems you can't have these things around enough, can you? Step on them, break them, smudge them, lose them. I needed a 1.75. Last time I was a 1.5. The fall. It's the effects of the fall. Here's the letter. Dear friend. Dear friend.
That's kind of offensive.
Being all polite and stuff. Cave City Baptist Church cherishes you as a member of this fellowship. You can tell that they're jerks right out of the chute, can't you? Some circumstance has kept you from performing your duties as defined in the bylaws of Cave City. Members are expected, first of all, etc., etc. This letter is to inform you that your name has been removed from the membership roll. Oh, man. Pray for this pastor. He's taken a beating, no doubt. It is our sincere hope that you are living a life of faith. A life of faith is certainly more than having your name on a membership list. It's about worshiping, studying God's word, serving the name of Christ, and receiving the nourishment of the Lord's Supper. It is about gathering regularly with brothers and sisters of the faith. This is what is important. Well done. Are you a member of a local church? May I encourage you to become one? Fast? You need this. I need this. We all need this. We all need this accountability. We all need this authority. You all need this love. Please feel free to contact us should you have any questions. The deacons of Cave City Baptist Church. Oh, no, the Doors. I almost made it. And maybe so the deacons will be open to you also. The Doors of Cave City Baptist Church will always be open to you. There you have it. A church that had the temerity to clean up the rolls. I wonder how many churches need to do the same thing. I know it's a chore. Nevertheless, it's good for the body. And wouldn't it be kind of nice? Do you think it might actually help some attitudes in America? Because right now, the statistic that floats around, 1/3 of Americans are evangelicals. Well, oh, that were true. I wonder how people would feel about becoming an evangelical if it was like 5%. Kind of fringy, almost. Not all that popular, although I have to confess, we sure look popular. I was talking to my buddy Rick Thomas of rickthomas.net, a website that you should visit often. He's magnificent with applying the gospel to your emotional issues, marriage, parenting. In fact, we're going to try to start getting Rick Thomas onto Wretched TV regularly so you can see biblical counseling in action with a couple that's struggling. How cool would that be? Instead of Dr. Phil doing, all right, so you got 3 legs and 4 eyes and you want to marry somebody who's purple? Let's bring those people on. Some sort of freak show. No, this would be counseling people biblically. And at any rate, we want to get started on that very soon because it would just be so helpful. He was up in Rapid City, South Dakota. I think that's where the Passion Play is. And he said there were 100,000 people at a Christian concert. 100,000 people. Now, I'd love to think they were all saved, but based on the music, they were probably listening to alone. Clean the rolls of your church. This is Wretched Radio. You know Paul and Cindy Marty. They are the founders and the runners of the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Not only did the kids get saved.
We were in the country of Hungary, and we were meeting with our country director. His name is Zoltan. And we asked him, Zoltan, how did you come to Christ? And he said, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to a neighboring village where they had a camp. And he said, we heard the gospel and got saved. And he said, our entire village that we were living in were atheists. 4 years ago, this is. And he said, now we're the only 2 Christians. Our kids have become Christians, and they have a Tomorrow Club with 30 kids. Can you imagine? But there are still fully atheist villages. It's a great white harvest out there.
Indeed there is. Would you like to help with that harvest? Please consider sponsoring a Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
In an effort to encourage you to visit wretched.org to order your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe to Give Away to Lost Sinners, here's an excerpt. If you think you are beyond God's mercy, you are wrong. God loves to save the dirtiest, most horrific, most despicable kinds of people. If you're one of them, He will save even you. Are you a fornicator? Flee to the Savior. Are you a pornographer? Run to Jesus. Are you a criminal or a drunkard? Fall at the feet of the Redeemer. That's just a sample of the good news you'll share with everyone that you give a copy of Don't Stub Your Toe. If you're still not convinced, you can check out the entire booklet at our website, wretched.org. So what you waiting for? The faster you get your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe, the sooner you can be sharing the good news with others. Don't Stub Your Toe at wretched.org. Wretched, amazing grace.
If you lament and mourn that over 3,000 babies are terminated every day in this country because of the sin of abortion, would you please visit preborn.org/wretched? Learn about a ministry that is holistic. It preaches the gospel to mom. She gets saved, and it ends this cycle of unwed pregnancies, abortion, unwed pregnancies, abortion. The gospel puts a halt to that. And then when a mom sees an ultrasound of her child, 80% of the time she determines, that's my baby and I'm going to keep my child. That is what preborn.org is all about. And so if you mourn the wicked sin of abortion and its consequences, and I know you do, visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What happened to our little Tim Challies? This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challies,
oh, no.
He's the world's most popular Christian blog. That's not hyperbole, nor is it an extreme exaggeration. It's the truth. It is the most popular blog on the planet. And Tim Challies, who's very conservative in his theology, characteristically is a rather Clark Kent-like sort of fellow. Well, he went into a phone booth, and this article, he came out as Superman and bringing some heat to pastors who are knee-deep in immorality. Sadly, there are some, as we speak. I believe he wrote this article in light of some current revelations, not divine impressions, current revelations of a very conservative, magnificent preacher who fell. A double act of adultery. Whoa. And it's caused a lot of people to be all shook up. Yay, yay. Have I been listening to the Elvis Channel?
Way too much.
A little bit too much?
Yeah, way probably. Too much, yeah.
Was listening to him from Madison Square Garden, the Saturday afternoon performance. He was in very good voice. Although I love it. It's the Saturday afternoon performance. Good evening. Yeah, okay, well, we've all made that mistake. You speak in a church in the evening, and you typically go, good morning.
Well, no, the worst part is when you go into the service, and then you get out, and it's like right about noon, so it's like 11:55, or it's 12:05, and it's like, good morning, or noon,
afternoon.
Good day.
Are these the type of things that keep you up at night, Joey?
They are.
No, they just bother me during the middle of the day on Sundays.
Well,
a very specific little window.
One more reason to have the church service done at 11:30. The second reason is you beat the brunch crowd. Be thoughtful that way, Pastor. And Pastor, think on these words from Tim Challies if you're knee-deep in immorality. He's speaking sternly, lovingly, truthfully, but without any holds barred. Many are knee-deep in disqualifying transgressions. But their day of reckoning has not yet come, not quite. But perhaps they would do well to reflect on the words of Moses in Numbers 32. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin has a way of being found out. We can hide it for a while, but eventually, inevitably, it's made public. You know why? I thought this was insightful. Sin lies. That's one of its characteristics. It lies. Sin is always deceiving. Sin is really demonic, but it wants to be found out because sin wants to have the last laugh. I told you you could have those affairs and nobody would find out about it, and boom, they did. Ha ha ha. I can't remember which Puritan said it, but the Puritan who wrote, "The devil laughs when you sin." When something evil happens, car accidents, tragedies, tumors, infidelity, pornography, the devil loves it. God hates it. The devil loves it. He loves for you to sin. He loves for you to be found out and embarrassed and ashamed. Sin, writes Challies, is content to dwell in the darkness, but only for a while. Its end goal is to be known so it can bring reproach upon the gospel. And that's the most painful thing about this recent pastor who fell. It brings a reproach on the gospel, and it confuses the saints. It truly does. What do I do with this? Do I listen to the guy's preaching? Can I trust the preaching? Was God really working in this person? Will that happen to me? Can't I trust anybody? Please keep in mind, I'm not sure that this will be a complete cure-all for you. There are millions of pastors. We hear about this on occasion. It's not an epidemic. It's not systemic. But it sure is painful when it happens. Challies writes, I want to say a word to those pastors who are hiding serious sin, especially this kind of disqualifying sexual sin, pleading with you, please confess and please resign. The best thing you can do for yourself, for your loved ones, for those you serve, confess the sin and resign from ministry. You're done. You're disqualified. There's rules for your job, and you break this rule, and you get a pink slip immediately. It's just that's what you signed up for. And so if this rather strong post from Tim Challies is hitting your target, do it today. Do it today. Because if you get found out, and if people hear about this, it besmirches the gospel, it confuses the saints, it can destroy an entire church, and your family will be a mess if it ever survives, let alone growing healthy. Immediately resign, as in right now. If you love your family, the church, Christ Church, if you love the gospel, if you love Christ, you'll confess and resign. To remain in ministry having committed that sin is the very height of hypocrisy. Now, Tim Challies recognizes how difficult that can be. Maybe you've got no other skill. You spent 7-8 years. Who knows? You've got your doctor. 10 years you've spent studying theology. You disqualified yourself. Nobody did this to you. She just wasn't too much to resist. You did this. You put all of your eggs into the ministry basket, but through no fault of anyone but yourself, you're just done. You're disqualified. This is God's church. This is God's ministry. I think I've mentioned that I spent some time with Ken Ham a couple of weeks ago. And I'm working on an article for their Answers magazine for the 25th anniversary of Answers in Genesis, and it's supposed to be a feature piece on Ken Ham, and yet they don't want it to be a hagiography because, well, if you know Ken, he's not a hagia. Instead, it's supposed to be just telling about how this ministry happened, but I had to bring in why this guy, after 50 years in ministry, 46 years of marriage, why he has not had a whiff of scandal surrounding him. He said, well, when I promised my wife I'd be faithful, I meant it. There's one starting place. Second of all, he said, this is key. And Pastor, maybe you need to hear this today. It's not your church. You do not pastor your church. I know we do that all the time. Hey, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to Andy Stanley's church or whatever. And you name the pastor. That it's not the pastor's church. I'm not saying it's a sin to do that, but we feed that mindset that the pastor thinks it's his church. It's not. It's the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints. It's his. And Ken Ham, if he said it once, I kid you not, I think he said it 11 times in my 2 hours with him. This is God's ministry. I asked him specifically, why isn't this called Ken Ham's Answers in Genesis or Ken Ham's Creation Museum or Ken Ham's Ark Encounter? Well, I think the first reason is if it were named that, it would sound like it belonged in Branson, Missouri. But his reason was when a ministry becomes about a man, well, then when the man dies or the man falls, the ministry goes, whoop, this is God's ministry, 11 times. He said that to me. Maybe that's something that you need to remember, Pastor. Maybe you're in the throes of temptation even now. It does happen. Tends to be sexual stuff. Sometimes, on occasion, it's money. But usually it's sexual stuff. If you are perhaps being tempted now, you better remember you're not messing with your ministry. It's God's ministry. That should pull you up very straight. Tim Challies, you chose to become involved in a vocation where one serious transgression marks the end of your career. You are no longer qualified to this position and must resign. This is not typical Tim Challies. I'm telling you. By the way, pray for Tim Challies, specifically his fingers. How's about this for divine providence? God decided, you know, your pinky finger and your ring finger on both hands, they're not going to work so good. I know you type for a living. I'm just going to take that skill away from you for a while. And so it has been really hard for Tim. Writing is, I don't know how people, like Paul would orate and an amanuensis, a secretary, would write things down for him. Organizing your thoughts, without a computer, it would just be a jumbled mess from me. And you got to move things around, read that, that doesn't flow. I'm missing a segment. Oh, I've already said that. Use that word, whatever. He can't do that on his computer. So his wife has been helping him do the typing. Pray for his fingers. Call your elders, Pastor. Confess every detail of your sin. Present them with your immediate resignation. Then quietly remove yourself from any kind of ministry. The consequence is severe. The fallout may be grave, but there is no better way to show your repentance and no better way to protect those you love than this. For the sake of the Church of Jesus Christ, for your family, for those who look up to you, for the sake of your own soul, confess your sin and resign that ministry. I'm sure he typed that more lovingly than I just presented that. But I join him to lovingly and forcefully say, please, Pastor, don't be the next one. Get out. And if you're tempted, remember, this church is not yours. It belongs to the Savior. Be very careful how you live as his under-shepherd. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.